Hey everybody, and welcome to Authors and Dragons, where a group of comedic fantasy writers get together and try to make it through a whole game of Pathfinder without accidentally dying. Let's see if we pull it off this week. As always, the odds do not look great.
Hi, I'm John Hartness, and I'll be playing the role of Fandingo the Fantastical, the hot, sexy, throbbing bard, love must... Wait, no, that's a different... But never mind. In real life, I write things like Bubba the Monster Hunter and the Black Knight Chronicles and Quincy Harker Demon Hunter and the Shadow Council Case Files, all of which can be found on johnhartness.com or other places.
Hi, I'm Joseph Brassi, human incarnate Cadbury mini-egg and aspiring Pokeball. I was one of the seven authors in the Mongoliad, and my debut novel, Skyfarer, is coming out from Angry Robot Books in September 5th, 2017. And in this game, I play the role of extremely socialized, vaguely misanthropic barbarian Bjork Bjornsson.
Hi, I'm Rick Gualtieri, and I play the role of Silas Kane / the mysterious Arrow of the Gods. His true identity will never be known. And in real life, I write the Tome of Bill horror comedy series. The complete series is available now. And soon to come, Lycan Moon and Get Bent.
Hello, my name is Robert Bevan. I play the role of Klaus Richter, notorious rogue. In real life, I write the Caverns and Creatures series of comedy, fantasy, lit RPG novels and short stories, starting with the first book, Critical Failures. The fifth book will be released on the same day as this podcast goes live, so go get that.
Hey, I'm Steve Weverell. I play Brandon Fymaster, the extremely well-oiled monk. In real life, I write a comedy fantasy series, The Doomsayer Journeys.
My name is Drew Hayes, and this week I am sponsored by Showing Up Drunk. Showing Up Drunk. Make an evening you can't remember, one that strangers will never forget. In regular life, I write books like Superpowers, NPCs, Fred the Vampire Accountant, Forging of Festus, and while normally I run the GM of this game, tonight I'm just here for tech support and in case of random voices.
And I am Misty Massey, playing the role of Drew Hayes tonight. I'm the guest DM, and I'm the author of Mad Kestrel, a rollicking adventure of magic and piracy on the high seas, and Kestrel's Dance, the upcoming sequel from Lore Seekers Press. I'm also writing the first of a series of Shadow Council novellas set in the weird old west for Falstaff Books. And I'm delighted to be here with you guys tonight. So, hi!
Hi!
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hi!
I know. Hey, I came back.
Obviously, we did something wrong. We did not manage to offend you. Another chance.
You always have another chance. So when last we met, or when last we were together, you guys were stunned to discover that the beautiful women were not actually so women-y and not at all as beautiful. One of them is lying dead at Fandingo's feet, having been shot by a couple of arrows from Silas, who is... walking around in circles going, I was right. I was right.
a paladin of Torig is always aware when there is evil afoot.
You thought Batiste was evil.
Are there one of those around?
Assuming that he's paying attention.
Well, apparently you were paying attention this time. So, although the little Quiches were not evil, but you know, the women you did go after. And you did kill the oldest of the three. The two younger ones are not happy about it at all and have started making this very unpleasant screeching noise, and they're reaching their hands out in either direction. And as you're watching, their bodies are elongating and becoming less human and more bird-like. And their arms... Go ahead.
Bjorg is going to pause. Look down at the legal document he's smoking and look back at the women and go, well, that's new.
Well, their arms are reaching out and stretching, and the robes that they were wearing fall off, and you see that from the neck down, they have feathers, and they are very bird-like, and their arms are becoming wings. And let's see, Klaus, roll me a perception.
Will do.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, I'd like everybody roll me a perception.
Klaus rolls a 6.
Fandinga rolls a 13.
Jorg rolls a 13.
Klaus rolls an 18. Klaus percepts like a motherfucker.
Yes, he does. Brandon, what did you roll?
Brandon is still opening the window.
Okay, well then I'll go with Klaus and we'll come back to you. Okay, Klaus, you're looking at these the women turning into these bird-like creatures, and you notice that the one that was petting your weasel and paying so much lovely attention to it has an injury on one of her wings. An injury that you recognize.
Is it weasel induced?
No, it's Klaus induced. It's the one you shot when you first came upon.
All right, okay. Thank you for helping me with my perception.
We all need help now and then. No, you realize that that's the creature that you shot that was attacking the older sister in the forest when you first met her.
Right. That's the one that was petting
your weasel.
What's his name? Ron Weasley Jeremy.
Ron Weasley Jeremy, yeah. You let her near Ron you Weasley bitch. Jeremy.
Oh, he's going to have so many trust issues now. Good. Incidentally, I rolled an 18. Brandon Flymaster rolled an 18 also.
Okay. Everybody except Silas notices this. Silas, you're still too busy being right. and
I will be for some time to come.
I know. But everybody else notices that not only are the women changing, but everything around you is changing. The little quiches are kind of turning dark and maybe a little moldy. The meat is starting to look slimy on the platter. The wind chimes, you notice they're made of bones that are hung from tendons hanging over wherever they're hanging. And, everything's.
Well, that's actually a lot happier.
Resourceful of them.
Wait a minute.
These harpies waste no part of the buffalo.
What have I been rubbing into my chest?
We're now on a fucking episode of Criminal Minds.
I do watch that a lot. Brandon, how do you want to look, chest it? How do you want to try to tell?
I don't know. Sniff tentatively.
taste it.
If you sniff your hand, it this does smell. It does smell like olive oil.
Oh, thank God. Don't worry, fellas. Everything's okay.
That was close. Okay, so you see one the sister that is uninjured takes off and starts to fly above you.
Oh, and, Bjorg, something's flying over you.
Right. Roll me an initiative.
Everybody?
Yes, everybody.
Okay.
Because I don't know who she's attacking.
Fandinga rolls a 24.
Okay.
Klaus rolls a 15.
The hell he does.
I'm sorry, Silas rolls a 15. for a moment, he was back in my head there.
Bjorg rolls a 14.
Okay.
Shit. Klaus rolls a 13.
Brandon Feimaster rolls
next
a 19.
Don't argue with me.
Okay. So
how good is his dexterity?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me roll hers. Okay. All right, so Fandinga, you're up.
Fandinga wants to cast his brand new spell.
Okay. What is your brand new spell?
Fandinga wants to cast Blistering Invective. and unleash an insulting tirade so vicious and spiteful that enemies who hear it are physically scorched by my fury. When I cast this spell, I make an intimidate check to demoralize each enemy within 30 feet of me. Enemies that are demoralized this way take 1d10 points of fire damage and must succeed at a reflex save or catch fire.
You reading the spell is demoralizing me.
You mean they literally
get burned? I'm going to set a bitch on fire.
I believe I mentioned that tonight wasn't going to take long. Okay, well, let's do that then. How long does it take to read?
Shit, I don't know.
What, was the spell from, like, the phrase, you just got burned?
I think it was. This well, is awesome.
It's, I don't know, its duration is instantaneous.
Okay.
I didn't write down the casting time. But it's got a 30-foot radius for all enemies in 30 feet.
And the interesting thing is, like, rounds are 6 seconds long. So that must be some badass cursing to, like, you know, to set them on fire in 6 seconds.
Yeah.
All right, John. Give it to us. Your mama's so fat.
Okay, so read your spell.
Bitch, your fat ass so wrinkled and ugly your mama had to tie a stake around your neck to get a dog to play with you.
Ooh.
Damn.
Okay.
And Fandingo rolls a natural 20 on his intimidate check.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right, roll me some damage.
You're going to relax now.
These are harpies with poor self-esteem.
They are now.
Well, you know, look at them. I mean, they had to use illusions to get men.
And then the girl rolls a 2 for damage.
2? Okay.
But they're demoralized.
They are. Is it just for one go round, or well, does...
They take 1d10, and now they each get a reflex save, or they catch fire and continue to burn.
That's right. Okay, let's see about that then.
That was hurtful.
It's okay.
2 points of damage to my feelings.
Okay. Lalita seems to not care what you say, but Loisa is now on fire.
Is she the one that was petting Ron Weasley Jeremy?
Yes, she is.
See, if you touch Klaus's weasel, your shit gets on fire.
How long
you get a burning sensation?
Right.
How long does the fire last?
I have no idea. It didn't say.
Okay.
But I'll go look it up.
It's usually until they put it out.
Yeah, generally status effects like fire, it's like until she stops dropping rolls or, you know, throws water on herself.
All right. Well, she is up. She's the one that's flying and she's the one that's standing and she's kind of running around screeching and spinning in circles because she never went to kindergarten and learned stop, drop, and roll. So, all right. So let's see. That was Fandingo. Brandon, you're up.
Okay. So I have two choices, either the monster that's on fire or the monster that's hovering.
That's right.
How high up is the other one that's not on fire?
Maybe about 10 feet.
Is that my range? I'll attack the one that's on fire.
Okay.
Thinking things through is not my strong point.
All right. What are you hitting her with?
I'll hit her with the broom.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't used my broom in a while. This seems like a good broom situation.
Okay.
I can remember where the attack button is. One second.
No rush.
You should invest in a metal rake.
Now that you've mastered the broom skills, and move on to
for things that are on fire.
Yeah. Eventually, kind of level up to a floor buffer.
Oh, that's the point. So
you're gonna have to be saving a lot of gold for that one.
So creatures that are demoralized are shaken, and they get a -2 to attack. -2 to saving throws, skill checks, and ability checks.
Okay, so while this monster's on fire and having an identity crisis, I'm going to shout, Harpy D and bitch, and hit her with a broom.
I think I almost sprayed Pepsi all over my monitor.
I only attacked for an 8. That was terrible.
Yeah, I think you just swish fire.
Yeah, Brandon swishes a lot in those hot pants.
but you're not sure she even noticed because she's still kind of spinning in circles screeching. So.
And on fire.
And because she's on fire.
It's fine.
In fact, you see her every now and then kind of try to leap up as if she wants to take off, but she can't because she's on fire. Okay, so Silas, you're next.
All right. The one who's up in the air, Silas will take aim at, and this will be a rapid shot, deadly aim, you know, basically. It's like, these arrows are for you. The next is for your quiche.
So just
a reminder from last week, if the first one hits, it actually counts as two arrows.
I remember.
All right, so I have to go to my fucking screen go. All right. All right, the first one hits 14 AC and the second one hits 20 AC.
Okay, nice. Well, roll me damage then, because you hit with both.
Okay, so then he does a grand total of 24 points.
Can't. And she's hit with, she's struck with both arrows, and she kind of rears back and tumbles to the ground, lies there, and dead.
Such is the fate of all who sexually titillate Silas Kane.
Well, that's a short list.
So that's two of them dead, and you now have one who's paying you no attention because she's burning, and actually she's taken some more damage.
I just like to point out that Silas sounds like a serial killer who only targets people that give him boners. I'm not even sure he realizes they were in danger. He just felt sexually stimulated and lashed out.
So, in other words, this is an episode of Criminal Minds.
Yeah, kind of is.
Except that Silas is the special guest star.
Silas takes his vows very seriously.
We we're all a little nervous about that. Bjorn, you're next.
Yeah. Bjorg, all right, Bjorg is going to look at the burning harpy that Brandon is fighting. You know, he's still looking kind of red-eyed and stoned, and he's going to approach from the opposite side for a flanking bonus. I think that's another plus two. I think.
Okay.
And he's gonna like, I am Brandon's delayed vengeance. That rolls for a 16.
That hits.
All right.
Roll with some damage. These poor women.
All right. And Bjorg rolls 19 damage.
And she crumbles to the ground, still burning. Probably grateful to you for killing her so that she's not burning anymore. She doesn't feel it anymore.
Can't smoke that.
I'll make it a point to throw the quiche on her burning corpse.
Silas, God!
Silas walks over and tips the platter of disgusting moldy quiche on top of the burning woman. And there's a lovely scent of burning moldy food now wafting around where once it was peaceful and lovely here.
This dead devil quiche is for you, Torag.
So
once again, you're standing over like our try burning to enemies.
Klaus would like to try to inhale her spirit.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, right. I forgot about that.
That's how you level up.
Bjorg's gonna join Klaus in inhaling the corpse fumes. But you know, he also
combat like... end without corpse defilement. Just
well,
no,
you
it's
know,
just inhaling.
There are two more creatures that aren't
on
fire.
Oh,
damn. Okay, yeah.
Wait, you know, are there? I thought
yeah.
there were only
dead,
two total.
They're not on fire.
They're all dead. They're not on fire.
Oh.
You know, if you want to burn all three and inhale all those souls, go nuts.
I think we're already at nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Nuts are...
These
so are you...
nuts.
So are you guys doing that?
Let's not get as broad as you guys. Yeah. Fandango ain't smoking no fucking heart.
You already did.
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
Brandon still just assumes that this is what you do when you defeat someone. This is his knowledge of the world since leaving the temple.
Oh boy.
Wait, the one that's burning—that's the one that that. Caressed Ron Weasley Jeremy.
Yes, that's the one that was putting her foul disgusting hand on your weasel.
Alright, well I would like Ron Weasley Jeremy to also inhale the fumes.
Jeez.
You're gonna hold him in one arm and both of you lean over together.
Yep.
And take a nice deep breath. Okay, that's just a disgusting smell.
I think we've all
done. That's the stuff, yeah.
this place is a temple, so after Silas retrieves whatever arrows he can from their corpses, he's going to set about desecrating it.
Okay.
God damn it!
In what fashion are you going to desecrate it, Silas?
Oh, well, you know, kick things over, you know.
Just you know, let Klaus walk around.
Yeah, burn whatever's burnable.
Okay.
Brandon would like to
cross out the name of their god, right, Toreg?
I think you're going to have to use a little bit of bone or some of charred bone to write it with, unless you have pen and ink.
He normally just pees into the ground.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
I've provided you with plenty of charred harpy to write with.
Brandon would like to empty out his water skin of terrible wine and his other water skin and fill it with the oil, if that's possible.
That is absolutely possible. And that will be just about fill both of them. The
Excellent.
Amount of oil that she has. So,
well, guys, this has been a complete success.
So,
how terrible is that wine? Is it like drinkable or?
It's not wine anymore. It's kind of muddy water, a little bit salty. Yeah, it's disgusting.
All right, well, Klaus would like to go loot the place for whatever valuables he can find. And every time Silas passes somewhere and crosses out the name of their god and writes Toreg, Klaus would like to write sucks underneath.
All right, we will. Every time you see the word Toreg, all of a sudden you'll see somebody. Klaus comes up behind, writes Toreg sucks, all over. So nobody will have any.
I want to do it stealthily.
Well, of course, it just appears. Okay. You know, as Silas wanders far off, you know, a minute later it says Toreg sucks.
I am going to ordain your weasel.
Oh my god!
Is that a euphemism?
Oh, I hope so.
You tried that once. Didn't work out well for either of us.
Oh my god. Okay, so Silas is desecrating and Klaus is wandering around looking for things. Give me a perception, Klaus.
Sure thing.
He perceives that Toreg sucks. There's a perception.
I'm pretty sure all of you feel, or most of you.
God damn it. All right, Klaus perceives at a 7.
Okay. Actually, this really wasn't hard to find, so you know I'm going to go ahead and say you saw it. There's up behind the there was a big stone temple kind of shrine looking thing where the olive oil was sitting originally before Brandon helped himself. Behind it, you find a big pile of bones and rotten yes. clothing.
Do they belong to a pilot?
it's hard to tell. So, but it's
God damn it.
Number of bones and rotten clothing and some shoes and the occasional hat flung about, skulls bashed in. It's all piled up. Some bags and there's rope and all kinds of things. All
you say piled hats. Up here. Is any of those hats a fedora at all? Just want to make that clear.
Alas, no.
Okay, next time.
Yeah. I'm just, I know you probably never will, but somebody someday needs to cosplay Brandon in the hot pants with a fedora on.
I'm trying to cultivate that look. Everybody will be cosplaying it.
There we go. You know, Dragon Con is in August, so. Anyway, so Klaus, you found this big pile of what looks to be trash.
Yay! I'm gonna search through it and see if I can find anything of value.
Okay, you can start searching through. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, roll me another perception. And actually, everybody else now roll me a perception too.
All right.
This should be God, embarrassing.
Klaus rolls another 7.
Another 7? Okay. Let's see what you can find.
Silas rolls a 15.
Okay. There's my list. Go ahead.
Jorg rolls a 7 as well.
7. Fendinga rolls a 25.
Okay. So while we're waiting for Brandon to, he's cleaning off his hands because they're really oily and he can't roll his perception. So Fendingo, you notice that Klaus has wandered off and now is making clattery noises just behind that big stone shrine over there.
Oh, Fendingo's going after that shit.
Okay. Klaus, you are digging through the pile, and you find yes. you
it's
find.
Saying, sorry, that Brandon Firemaster rolled a natural 1 anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Brandon's so happy with his oil, he really doesn't care what anybody else is doing.
Yeah, that's in character.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So, Bjork's still smoking.
Bjork, I'm just. So you're smoking a piece of paper. With grass and leaves in it.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
And quiche.
Oh, there was quiche in it too?
I think, I don't know. But actually, Bjork is going to look and see if the quiche that was thrown on the corpse has been any better cooked.
Cooked, yes, but it was still moldy and slimy when it got thrown on. So, yeah.
Yes.
Try it as you wish, but
I've got another heal spell for the day. It's okay, go for it, Bjork.
Thinking it might have been like moldy mushrooms in it.
Oh, mushrooms!
Moldy mushrooms.
Bjork will eat the quiche in hopes of having a vision.
Oh, God.
We have a psychedelic blue barbarian with a dick drawn on his face.
He's own smoking it. Paper and eating rotten quiche. This is like the O'Douls of drugs.
This is what Nancy Reagan warned us about.
Klaus, you have found a little leather pouch.
Sweet.
You gonna open it?
Yes.
Okay. You open it up, and inside is a small gray stone, about the size of 2 20-sided die sitting on top of each other.
Oh,
this wait a minute! If you're going to tell me that in the Dungeons and Dragons fantasy world they have 20-sided die, that is just too better for me to handle.
That was just for Robert. That was not for Klaus.
Good stuff. Okay. I can deal with
it. Well, this seems like it. This seems like it blows as much as everything else in this pile, but I think I'll hold on to this.
Okay. So you're going to put it back in the pouch and...
I'll put it back in the pouch and hang on to it. The pouch is, you know, otherwise functional as a pouch.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it's good. Like, yeah, free pouch.
It would hold about 10 gold. It's a little pouch.
What you doing over here, Klaus?
And right about then, Fandango comes up on you.
Hey, buddy. What you doing?
Creepy thing ever.
Just looking through this pile of trash and remains.
Find anything cool?
No. Pile of trash.
Well, then maybe I'll take a look. And Fandango's going to start digging through the pile of trash.
All right, roll me a perception.
You have crushed every other one, so this ought to be a natural one.
You don't have to roll very high.
Fandango rolls a 20 for his perception check.
Okay. Let's see what Fandango finds. Fandango, you find... What do you find? Oh. You find a glove.
Not of the love variety?
No. This is a glove for your hand. It's actually very nice. It doesn't look rotten and torn up and shredded and blood stained and all that. It's actually kind of a nice glove. Looks, if you touch it, it's very soft and smooth.
Oh, please tell me it's a white single glove for our bag.
Yes.
Does it have sequins?
Alas, no. It is brown. It is a nice deer hide brown.
Understated, Michael.
Right hand or left hand?
Left hand.
Put that bugger on.
Okay.
We just randomly put on clothes we found in trash piles.
I was trying to bang a harpy 5 minutes ago. And then I insulted her so much she caught fire. Hell yeah, I'm going to put on the glove. It's like not even the third stupidest thing I've done in this since we got off the boat.
Hang on, I'm pulling up to tell you what happens. So, okay, so you put on the glove. And suddenly you have a thought.
That's a first.
A word comes into your head. Assist.
Like CYST? Because that's gross.
Ew.
ASSIST. Assist.
Okay.
I don't know what he's going to assist with one hand, and I don't want to know.
or is it perhaps assist?
No. No, that would be in the Silas Kane dictionary.
This is a plus one glove of butt fetish.
Plus one glove of prostate exam?
No, I'm
Fandango holds up his left hand and says, assist.
You say assist?
Assist.
Okay, you say assist. Suddenly, everything in about a 3-foot radius of you lifts up. All of the trash and stuff lifts up and hangs there.
What does Klaus do?
I don't know. What does Klaus do?
Does he float?
No. Klaus does not.
Klaus would like to take a closer look at the floating trash.
Okay. At this moment, I would like to note Bjorg turns around and starts paying attention and takes another good long look at the legal document he's smoking.
Wow. Silas will call over. Good job, brother. Toreg helps those who help themselves to others' trash.
Right.
Bjorg will walk over to Brandon and say to Brandon off the side, are you seeing this?
Sorry, what's natural one? I'm not seeing anything.
So Fandango's going to start waving his hand around, hoping he can make shit dance like the brooms in Fantasia.
Is he going to start yelling "assist" over again?
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so you're making the trash dance?
Well, if it will.
Well, it doesn't really, the pieces don't start dancing individually. It kind of moves as a whole chunk. So, you know, if you move it around, it moves where you point to it to move. And after a minute, it all falls down on the ground again.
All right, cool. All right. Okay. I have a glove of floaty shit.
I'm almost glad I'm not paying attention to this.
So, let's see, Silas, have you joined them now?
No, still, you know, he looked over at one point, but for the most part, he's still desecrating.
Okay, all right.
You know, desecrating Bjorg, is hard work.
Bjorg will look through the trash.
Okay, all righty. So, give me a perception.
All right, let's see what we get here.
Klaus, you should totally try and find a right-handed glove.
Let's see here. Bjorg rolls a natural 20 on his perception check.
Okay, well, Bjorg finds another leather bag. It's a bigger one than Klaus found. This one's probably more of the standard size that you see people use as backpacks and that kind of thing.
Bjorg will examine this bag.
Okay.
Klaus found a mouse scrotum.
Jesus. Sorry, dude. Genetics are a bitch.
So, are you just looking at the outside?
Yeah, he'll open it. See what's in it.
He'll open it. Okay, because it looks like a fairly nondescript leather bag on the outside. On the inside, you find a roll of very soft bandages and two 3-foot lengths of thick leather cord all rolled up together.
Hmm. Bjorg is not the wisest man, so he's going to just kind of take out the leather and examine it. Maybe start wrapping it around random appendages.
The leather cords?
Okay. Yes.
Hang on a second.
He's kind of acting like a stoned out Mr. Bean right now.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Which random appendages are you?
He's going to start wrapping the leather around his forehead.
That's a very random appendage.
That is an appendage.
Nothing really happens when you wrap it around your head.
He's going to wrap it around his arm with the compass on it. Maybe this will make the needle stop.
Arm with the compass on it. What do you wear? What kind of clothing do you wear?
Bjorg wears like hide armor, and it's probably like sleeveless, but with like wrist guards and such.
All right, good. Okay, so you wrap it around your bicep, and all of a sudden you look, and your arm looks really big because you're so big, but bigger.
Bigger.
Really big.
Whoa, what's going on here?
you guys hear Bjorg go, bigger! And you look at him, and his arms appear much larger than normal.
Why are my arms so big?
Are we talking like muscular or like just like longer, like gorilla arms?
Muscular to begin with.
Yeah, it looks bigger. His muscles look like they've grown. His muscles grew 3 sizes that day.
This leather is amazing!
Hey, let me borrow a piece of that. And then I'll be back.
I don't know what these are!
Yeah. If the Hour of Gods was here, he'd probably promote you to intermediate adventurer.
Really?
Okay, so now Bjorg is walking around with these things around his arms, just marveling because really stoned, and so he's going,
I thought it would be a good idea to put them on my body.
And you were right. Look, your arms are big. Wow. And you guys can see he's just walking around. He's absolutely marveling at the joy of his giant arms now.
God, some people. Get over yourself, man.
Okay, is anybody looking at you?
I would like to ask Klaus would like to ask Fandango, can you do that cool glove thing again?
I can try. Assist.
And?
With a grand gesture.
That's why I laughed when you found that. Okay. You say, assist, and you put your arm forward as if you're on a stage doing Hamlet. And everything lifts back up.
All right. While that's happening, Klaus would like to hold the rock that is in his tiny pouch in his hand and cast a detect magic spell and just scan the whole pile of trash and the rock and see if anything else is magical in there.
Okay, give me a roll for that.
Is there a roll?
Is there a roll for that?
It's our round.
No, oh no, I guess not. Detect, no, this. Yeah.
You
okay,
detect magical auras.
That's right. Okay. And you detect magic on your little stone, and let's see. You detect. What's the area of that spell?
It's a range 60 foot. It's a cone shaped emanation. Yeah, you know, standing far enough away to get the whole trash pile and. In my cone.
Well, then you're noticing magic is there are auras on everything you guys have found so far, and there seems to be one other little aura popping up in the middle of the trash heap.
Well, nothing to see here. I'm gonna go grab that thing.
Okay. All right. Do you tell Fandango he can put everything down, or?
Yeah. Well, or keep playing with him. I don't give a shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
Fandango's
right.
Gonna kind of wave it around. The goal now is to make the trash pile dance so Klaus can't get to the glowy spot. Can I see the glowy spot?
I think only the caster can do it. Yeah. No.
Well, then I'm just gonna wave shit around randomly, and maybe I'll get lucky, and Klaus won't be able to.
Okay, so
find anything.
Klaus, let's see. Can you roll against your dexterity for me?
Sure thing.
Okay. Because Fandango is making the trash dance.
If he's rolling a dex check, Fandango's stupidity check, I think he's at a minus.
Wait, does Silas see the trash dancing around?
Give me a perception.
Because
Klaus rolls a 14 for dexterity.
Okay, and what is your dex?
Great. 24.
Okay.
Right, Silas, what am I supposed to be? All right.
Silas rolls a natural 20 for perception.
Okay. Yes, you do notice that Fandango is making the trash dance and that Klaus is jumping around grabbing something.
I see the trash dancing around. Do I know that Fandango is making it dance?
Yeah, probably. Because you've been listening. You said you were kind of looking at them every now and then. So yeah, you know it's him. You know, you heard him. You heard him say assist and do the big arm thing. So.
All right. Silas will assume that Fandango's in charge and it's not like devil trash.
Yeah. And that's so good.
Fandango may be in charge and it be devil trash.
So Klaus, despite the dancing around, you are able to grab the one thing that you did see glowing, and
Thanks for being a dick, though.
No problem, pal. I got you.
It's a whipped up leather quiver. Looks like somebody clawed at it and ripped some of the leather away, and there are three arrows in it.
Sweet.
So.
All right. Well, I'll check this shit out later.
Okay.
You do realize that you're stealing treasure in like full sight of the party, right?
I'm just picking up some trash.
I don't see nothing. I'm still glaring furiously at Bjorg.
I'm just making shit float. I don't care.
And we can flex together more easily now.
You're dead to me.
Free quiver. Three arrows.
With me.
three arrows that glow.
To me.
To him.
To you. To you, yes.
All right. Yeah.
Yes. Not to anybody else. To anybody else, it's just, it looks like a whooped up quiver and some kind of beat up arrows, so.
I mean, Silas already has his magical arrows of Torak, so what more does he need?
That is true.
What more does he need? Exactly. Okay. Fandango, the trash heap crumbles to the ground again.
Ooh.
Okay. So, are you guys going to look anymore? Do you want to keep going through the trash? Do you want to do anything else up here on the hill?
I've seen all I need to see.
If there's nothing left to desecrate, what were we supposed to do? Gather olives or something?
Well, the olive farms are on the other side of the island. You had come up here hoping for olive oil, which Brandon has obtained at risk to life and limb, but he managed to obtain it. And yes.
How much olive oil did we need?
I don't know. Brandon, how much olive oil did you need?
Yeah, just I was wondering about the whole wee thing. I don't know how much olive oil you need, but I need all of the olive oil. So,
you have the olive oil. I'll have the glove of floaty shit. I'm good with that.
Excellent.
Fandango points at Brandon and says, "Assist."
Nothing happens.
Brandon points at Fandango and says, "Get the fuck out of my personal space."
Oddly enough, also nothing happens. you do notice that the sun is starting to go down. I mean, it's not sunset or anything, but it's starting to be late afternoon.
Does the ocean look beautiful?
It's starting to, yes. Even
look, more beautiful than it already did. Jeremy. I'll take in the scene with Ron Weasley Jeremy and
having a moment with his weasel.
Yeah.
It's like a Cialis commercial without the bathtub.
I mean, there's a fountain.
There is a fountain. Okay, go lay in the fountain. Make it a Cialis commercial. You can hold hands with your weasel. So anyway, it is getting late, though.
Oh, so I guess we should go back to the boat.
Well, those people in the warehouse should be getting off of work right about now.
It's a good thought.
Which tells me they need some Toreg in their lives.
Bjorg is going to look around red-eyed giant bicep and say, "I honestly forgot why we're here."
Your arms are strangely large.
I know. It's amazing.
Yes, they are. He's going to walk down the path with both arms up the whole way, just looking at each bicep one at a time.
Just absolutely furious.
Hey, you could have hunted through the trash, but you were busy being happy with your olive oil.
Well, Silas is going to head back to the warehouse to be ready for when those fortunate workers get off work.
Okay. Is anybody else going with him?
I'm going in the same direction.
Well, yeah, I'm not exactly with him.
Right.
God.
So everybody's walking down the path.
Yes. In other words.
Okay. All right. Takes you about 30 minutes to get back down to the dock. And when you get there, you see that the warehouse is all locked up. There's a chain closing the doors. And the dockmaster's office is also locked up, and Footstool is on the dock, pacing back and forth. And he sees you.
Yeah.
As you
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
What are we meant to be doing on this island? Because we just murdered some prominent people, and maybe we should leave.
Yeah. You really only stop to pick up olives for Judge Hungry likes olives in his martinis in the evening, and so
did we do that?
Footstool did.
Oh, good. All right. Well, there you go.
Footstool
stopped. Mission accomplished, guys.
Footstool got the olives, and we went and murdered people.
You did.
He
sees you coming out of the trees, and he says, "Where the hell have you been?"
Well, so.
I got cock blocked by a just defrocked paladin.
I don't even want to know. The tide has already started turning. Just get on the damn boat. Come on. Everybody.
Wait. We can't leave yet.
Why
we
not?
Because we haven't converted these people.
Fine. You stay. Everybody else on the ship.
Okay.
Okay. Does everybody get on the ship? Boat.
George is going to walk under the ship still furiously flexing.
Okay. But still looks at you and says, what the hell happened to you? Wait, never mind. I don't want to know.
Leather!
Gives you a thumbs up.
Now a leather queen.
Leather! Okay.
He still also has a dick drawn on his head.
It's a little, it's a little smudge now because you put the leather on there first. So.
Right.
It sort of still looks like a dick, sort of.
If he needs some touch ups. It was all over that.
There you go. Okay. And so you get on the boat, and Footstool has the men pull up the gangplank and drop sail, and you start sailing away.
If I can't convert the dock workers, I'll convert the sailors.
And so Silas goes to converting sailors while the rest of you kick back and I guess go get some rest because it's been a very, very busy afternoon for all of you. And sure. that is where we will stop.
Hey. Thank you, Misty.
Cool.
You're welcome. Yay. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
We appreciate you coming out. well, this week we are doing questions, as y'all know, and we've asked you to, if you have any, especially for Misty, to send them that way. So, Joe, do you want to walk us into that?
Yeah. Sure. Okay, so our question is from our friend Daniel. And he says, do you guys listen to other fantasy or other genre actual play podcasts?
Other ones? Shit, I don't listen to this one.
You definitely already
I listen to a lot of...
Yeah, Adventure Zone. That's the definitive one, I think. As for someone who's doing exactly kind of what we're doing, there's sci-fi authors playing old school D&D. Obviously not as good as us, but you can check them out.
I mean, the podcast where they review chain restaurants because I'm just a big old fat ass at heart.
I'm a big old fat ass at ass. So I need the link for that podcast, yeah.
The Doughboys. It's actually really funny.
I basically only listen to professional wrestling podcasts because I'm that kind of nerd.
I only listen to podcasts in the car, and like, you know, these days I'm like, if I'm in the car like 5 minutes for the week, that's like a long time.
There's one I'm considering starting because I have a friend of mine like talking up to me a lot. Apparently, it's a group of guys who play the Fantasy Flight Star Wars RPG, and I guess this started as they did it as a one shot to play test the system, and they liked it so much that they've been playing for several episodes now, and they're a delightfully fucked up party of people. I think it's called Campaign.
I'm just trying to think of the ones that I've given a go: Adventuring Bastards, Drunkards and Dragons. There's a lot of them. Yeah, I think if you go on Reddit, there's kind of a thread dedicated to it.
We're definitely not an original concept.
Yeah.
No. But
we are definitely the best one. So.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
We're the only one with brain professional fitness. Authors playing. Oh, no, wait. Whoa. You did mention. Shit.
We're the only one with this bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
I listen to a bunch of book marketing podcasts, but that's kind of boring. Yeah, sorry.
I listen to those when you guys are on them.
Our next question is for Steve. Our friend Legion asks, what would Brandon's advice be to a junior adventurer who, like him, likes to punch things?
Oh, follow your heart and your fist. That's the only the advice you can give, really. Don't overthink it. Just go out there and make friends with the universe with your fists.
Wow.
That way, I don't know. That's what I tell my children.
Our friend Jennifer wants to know, how many Misty episodes are we going to get? Is there a plan? And are there more guest DMs in the works?
Plan.
Plan. That's the funniest word.
Glad.
Jennifer, there was really only supposed to be one, but it took so long to get to the battle that we ended up with two. So thanks, guys, for letting me come back. And at this moment, that's probably all that we're doing, you know, unless something changes down the road.
But there are more guest DMs coming. We're doing a whole little special run so that, you know, we can get some diversity and shake things up and just have a fun little mini series. So there's a couple more coming, but we're going to let those be surprises as they roll out.
This is Drew's way of saying he's sick and tired of us.
Yeah, I'm moving right now. I've got a house that I'm just dealing with that shit. And this was really one big conspiracy plan to lighten my load while this is happening. So shenanigans.
He's a load.
Never trust a DM.
No, if I was doing that, I would have shoved the editing off on somebody else because that's the time-consuming part.
All right. Our friend Lyle says, if the situation came up where Drew could not GM for the evening and everyone else was present, who, if anyone, would be the second string GM? The B-team GM. The backup. The not as good, but good enough GM. Anybody but Bevan, apparently.
I'm with you there. Wait, who the fuck said that?
Lyle. That's the question.
Their name is Lyle.
I agree, but fuck you, Lyle.
Not it. Hartness says no, not it.
I'm actually DMing a game tomorrow night, so I mean, you know. But I you know something, I wouldn't tolerate all your shit. I'd probably like, you know, throw a lick, you know, just smite y'all instantly.
It'd be a very short game.
All our shit? All our shit? Crackle, please.
I'd be willing to take a stab at it, I think. It could be fun.
I'm not sure I've got what it takes. It sounds hard.
It sounded hard.
I think if I had to appoint someone to run in my absence, I would be really tempting just to see what Steve would do. So I think it would be fun, especially because he's the least experienced on D&D, and sometimes that leads to some of the funniest outcomes. Because when you don't have preconceptions, you don't adhere to them.
Very true.
That's an interesting philosophy. I'd leave the person most likely to fuck it all up in charge.
Yeah, it's an entertainment podcast, buddy.
I mean, to be fair, you know, for what value of fucking it all up?
Well, right. Yeah.
Can you, you basically DM than you guys do as players, is what he said.
I'm still not sure how a normal game is supposed to actually happen, so.
And with this group, you'll never find out.
It's sort of our function to leave the assholes of plots in ruins.
Well, you did very well this time.
All right, so our friend Jeremy says, thanks for joining the guys, Misty. You were a great guest. Have you done a lot of GMing in the past? Either way, were the guys as unruly as you expected, or was I hearing some and yet I was not prepared in those laughs?
The guys were not any more unruly than I expected. See, what you have to understand, I taught preschool for 15 years.
That's about us.
I was eminently prepared for any sort of that kind of thing. But no, I haven't game mastered much. Actually, I think the last time I game mastered was Call of Cthulhu back in the Dawn of Time. So, you know, this was any hesitation you heard from me was, shit, do I remember how to do this? So, you know, but it was a lot of fun. I had a great time, so.
And Call of Cthulhu campaigns tend to be pretty damn short.
Oh, yeah, you know, two of my guys found a foot inside a shoe that was all that was left of a man who had been pulled through an iron fence, and that pretty much put paid to the rest of the party. They all ran screaming and like, okay, next. But
all right. Okay, let's see here. Our friend, let's see, next. Oh, it's Christopher. He said, I'm building a dark avenging knight D&D character. If I choose the noble knight background variant, does the squire retainer fight alongside me, or is he, she a coward like the other two commoner retainers?
The fuck?
That's an actual rules question.
I don't have any idea what that means. That's why.
Yeah, boo. This is not a place where you ask actual rules question.
I don't know what's funnier.
My answer is fish.
Yeah.
I just zoned out on that. I have no idea what's going on there.
I mean, is there a dick joke in there anywhere? Because if not, I'm out.
I think that's a word problem.
If you've been listening to this until now, and you think we're authorities on how this is supposed to go,
then we want some of what you're smoking.
Because it ain't legal document. Hey, man, I smoked that paper, and there was burning quiche and floating trash, and my biceps got bigger. It was a good trip.
He's got a point.
All right. So let's see here. Our friend Bradley says, I'm curious about how the Amazon add-ons, buy ebook, add Audible, work for you guys as authors. I mean, I assume you make more, but, well, you know what they say about assumptions. Yes, it has the word ass in it.
I'm going to go ahead and say we don't know how it works as an Amazon add-on.
Well, we know how Matchbook works, because pretty much, like, you know, we know that, like, you know, it's one of those, if you buy, like, the book, you'll probably pretty much get nothing if you get the ebook too. I know we get paid for, like, you know, for the Audible, like, you know, WhisperSync add-ons. I have no idea how much we fucking get paid.
Oh, it's nothing.
Yeah, but trying to read Audible's, like, you know, income statements is, like, you know, cuneiform there.
Well, like, a lot of times, I think with the deal I've got set up is I get 40% of the buy price. So if you pay $2 for a WhisperSync book, I get 80 cents and that gets split between me and my narrator. So I get 40 cents. I think. Maybe.
I'm not bothered. I'm in it for the ranking. So do that, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in it for strippers and blow.
It's all good. I make the audio just because people like it.
I mean, yeah, buy the shit. I'll make some money. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I've said it's like cool that it's cool that people ask these questions, but I mean, I'm like, read it and enjoy it however you want to do it, you know?
Yeah, if we weren't comfortable with the format, we wouldn't be listed there.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't not get a WhisperSync thing because you think it's going to bone us out at $2. I mean, come on. We're doing this podcast for free.
Wait, you guys aren't getting paid? Oh.
God damn it.
And Drew pulls a Klaus on our sponsorship dollars.
Yeah. Holy crap. You're actually getting sponsored by showing up drunk?
I know, right?
Where do I get that money?
Well, you have to show up drunk a lot. Like, they demand commitment to the product.
I would say, you know, if you've bought something and you feel you've got more than you paid for, likes and shares, man, word of mouth. You know, that's a great payment for any author.
And reviews.
Yeah, and reviews.
Reviews.
These are the bombs.
Yeah, review.
We got one more question. Our friend Chris says, was one of Klaus's parents a judge? Because Richter means judge in German, and something funny, the name Klaus reminds me of Klau in German, which means steel, and he is a rogue. Did you do this on purpose, Robert? Also, he spelled rogue rouge, so technically he's asking if you are, especially he's saying Klaus is a rouge.
Does Robert do anything on purpose?
Yeah, I was going to say, knowing Bevan, I'm going to guess this is a no.
It is funny, though, that he has in fact said that his name apparently means steel judge, which means apparently he's going to have to steal Judge Hungry.
Okay. Now that would be the crime of the century.
You could steal his eyes.
Or his heart.
Klaus never really gets to know his parents as they were eaten by bears. But
is he Cathark's brother?
The name Klaus Richter came from an old computer game called XCOM. Do you know that? All right.
My son.
It was like some kind of alien invasion game, and all your little soldiers had names, and there were two cool names. There were Wolfgang Xander and Klaus Richter. And I don't know. Klaus Richter's just
Oh, we definitely have to have an episode where Klaus meets his long-lost half-brother, Wolfgang Zifter.
Xander. So I've had several characters over the years named Klaus Richter. And this is, well, this is the one that...
So what we're saying is that Klaus is basically like a really fucked up version of the Eternal Champion.
Yeah.
From lifetime to lifetime, he is reincarnated to be a complete dick to everyone.
Nice.
That's and we've brought it full circle to a book that Bevan would
it's
write.
It's like... Like the opposite of Quantum Leap.
Quantum Dick. Quantum Dick.
Oh, well, before we go, Misty, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Right now, I'm waiting on things to come out. Kestrel's Dance, as I said, is going to be coming out later this summer from Lore Seekers Press. Also, the Weird West Shadow Council novellas are going to be coming out later this year. I hope.
What is your publisher?
I know. Shh, don't tell my publisher, even though it's sitting right there. But also, I wanted to mention that all of you guys are going to be joining me at Con Carolinas.
Yes.
And I'm really excited to have you all there. And so I hope that all the listeners who can reasonably make the trip will come on out and join us, too. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you can find all the information you need at concarolinas.org.
May I say something about the GoFundMe prizes?
Yes, go for it.
Basically, you all know I've already met my ticket price, so I'm definitely going to Carolinas. But I would say that those of you who have had contributed, please do check your junk mail, just in case you've missed the email from me, so I can give you the prizes. The prizes are, now that it's not a surprise, a Temple of the Many Fists leaflet, along with a Brandon Fine Master themed button pack, and also pretty much most of my ebooks. So if you would still like to contribute to the GoFundMe, basically anything we get now over the threshold goes into the kind of Authors and Draggers pot to help with our con costs and our mandatory bucket of heroin that we need. So if you want the badges to leave it, you can still contribute $10 to the GoFundMe.
Tell me more about this mandatory bucket of heroin, man.
And wait, is somebody gonna have this on their table at Con Carolinas? Mandatory bucket of heroin.
Yeah.
No. You're gonna have to do the heroin in your hotel room. I'm sorry.
All right, so we gotta show up to the A&D panel with like powdered sugar all over our faces.
What if we just want to show up with actual hair? Oh yeah, we'll talk about that.
I got a guy. Yeah. I mean, that would be terrible.
Yeah. No, man. I'm just eating. This isn't heroin, man. These are bath crystals. It's all good.
I got off heroin. I'm just doing meth now.
All right, folks. Well, one more thank you to Misty for graciously putting up with us for two whole games. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with another surprise GM to take us on a special adventure. But until then, hope you guys enjoyed it. Bye.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Authors and Dragons is brought to you under a Creative Commons license, meaning you are free to share this material so long as credit is given to the original creators, which is us, the people who are playing it. The opening music, Take a Chance, and closing theme, Master of the Feast, are both credited to Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and also used under a Creative Commons license.